I'm Tyra G, your host of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to our virtual global gathering of phenomenal listeners. Yes, you, fearsome and generous, humble and honest, in pursuit of new possibilities and purpose. Every week, we meet at the table for an hour to experience, educate, encourage, and empower each other through our joys and our lessons learned. We share topics that tradition tells us there's some things that we just don't talk about. But here, we live beyond judgment and we live beyond the wreckage. We share some aha moments and stories that have been left in our pockets for way too long. Every week, we start right where we are. Although many of your voices will speak light into darkness, there is no insignificant person around this table. Each week, we start right where we are. Hey, the dress code is merely your authenticity. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device. And we are webcast worldwide on the internet at www.radiofairfax.org every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Should you miss us, I know it's date night, I got that. You can catch our podcast on YouTube, Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. And we have a podcast starting now where we're archiving our shows. Where you listen to your podcast, find Tyra G, Frankly Speaking. And I know some of you love to connect with Miss Tyra offline. Keep it coming. That's Tyra at TyraGarlington.com. Thank you in advance for tuning in. And thank you, Courtney Nero, for composing and performing our Frankly Speaking theme song. And most especially for naming it, I'm Listening. To establish our thought, common thought space for our time together today, I turn once again to author and coach Iyana Van Sant in her 2000 book, Until Today. And I quote, "The greatest service I can offer is standing confidently in my power." It does not serve you or the world for you to believe and to behave that you are like you're powerless. You are gifts. You have the gift of intellect. You can think for yourself into and out of any situation with you and when you are confronted. You have the ability to speak for yourself. You can defend yourself, promote yourself, encourage yourself, teach yourself, correct yourself. Now that's power. You have a heart through which you can experience love, grief, compassion, empathy, joy, peace, and an entire realm of emotions that let you know that you're alive. While you're alive, you can create, destroy, and rebuild something as insignificant as a Lego house or something as significant as the capital of a state. You can create another life. Through that life, you have the opportunity to share words of compassion, to express feelings of love, to know the joys of sharing, and to experience the wonderment of seeing a life grow before your eyes. That is power. You are powerful. Until today, you may have believed that money is power, education is power, things that you own are power. When in reality, power is what you can do. Stand in it. Stand up in your power. Embrace your power. serve the world by bringing your power into your life. End quote. Let me repeat that last sentence. Serve the world by bringing your power into your life. For today, the critical words in the quote were service and power. This month, frankly speaking, we'll unpack the relationship between owning your power as a means of providing amazing service. We will use voices from an international service organization called Rotary International. In fact, our frankly speaking theme this month is sowing seeds of service above self. Let me walk you into this space with one of my personal Rotary stories. Once upon a time, maybe 9 years ago, one of my colleagues interrupted my dramatic recounting of my amazing experience with 35,000 other Rotarians from clubs around the world who came together at a Rotary International convention in Bangkok, Thailand. Oh, I was telling this and I was telling that, who I met, what I learned. And he said, "So Tyra, what is a Rotary?" Wow, a reality smack. You know what? I realize Rotary may be one of the best kept secrets in the world. But why? Then a light bulb in my head went on. You know something? It's easier to volunteer for, commit to, believe in, and sometimes sacrifice for something or someone when you know their story or its story. And knowing and living the story becomes more important than boasting about it. Now, I thought about that, and that may not be the wisdom of sustainability. So with that in mind, I decided to share a preface of Rotary with my colleague. So I said, picture this. It's 1905 on a cold, windy February 23rd night in Chicago. A 37-year-old lawyer called Paul Harris, along with his best friend Gus, and two other friends who were also having a bit of a challenge adjusting to big city life, came together after dinner. In Gus's small, sparsely furnished, dingy office at 7-Eleven of the Unity Building in downtown Chicago. Now here's the thing, all four of these young men came from farming communities in the Northeast. They were not ready for Chicago in 1905. And they began to talk about some of their insecurities and anxieties. They finally were authentic and vulnerable enough with each other to talk about their loneliness. So they decided, wouldn't it be nice if we could start an organization like none other, where diversity, inclusion, friendship, networking, mentoring, and support and service to others were priorities. So at first, Rotary was a vision of four professional men. Today, Rotary is proof that dreams can come true. What these four men did not know was that from an acorn, 1,000 mighty oaks can grow. They didn't know that in 2019, 1.2 million people of action across the world would be committed to their dream, as well as to operate by the mantra service above self. $3 billion, that's with a B, dollars have been raised and donated to life-sustaining projects. Through our Rotary Foundation, we fund local and international service projects to promote peace, fight disease, provide clean water, sanitation, hygiene, saving mothers and children, supporting education, and growing local economies. Well, my friends looking at me saying, so that's a Rotary, huh? He asked for more. He visited Rotary, and yes, he did. He joined. And that's a yay. So with that, let's fast forward to now and meet my guest, one of the 1.2 million Rotary members. What I thought would be helpful this month as we celebrated Rotary was to begin to understand the multitude or the tapestry of people who walk through the Rotary doors and commit. So far, we've talked to a teacher, a school teacher dedicated to children with special needs, but not just in the U.S. For the past 13 years, she's been establishing a school in Africa. We talked to a doctor who leads a team on mission trips every year to remote areas in Haiti, where they're still recovering from one after another natural disasters. Today, we have such a pleasure. We're going to meet a Rotarian who first served her country. Service above self, served her country in a very special way in the U.S. Air Force before she walked through the doors of Rotary International. What we're going to do today is some fun kind of stuff. We're going to walk behind her words. We're going to listen with compassion, and we're going to begin to understand the person of my friend, Tanya Oldham. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Tyra.
Hello, dear. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. It's just a pleasure to be able to talk with you tonight.
Well, I figured this was going, I need to tell our audience, Tanya's in Florida and I'm in Virginia. So it is special for us. It's not an everyday or monthly or weekly thing that we get to connect. So there may be some personal joy that we share. You may feel some love coming through. That's who we are.
Yes.
Tanya, why don't you help our audience, our listeners, know a little bit about you? I led with the Air Force. Of course, it didn't start there, but that's a fun way to start today. What do you want to tell them?
You know what? Let me start by telling the audience that I am Patton Frank. That's my mom and dad. I'm their little girl who grew up to become a Christian young woman that's committed and caring to giving back and serving others. I am from a very large family, Tyra. Five brothers and two sisters. With me, it's three girls.
Uh-huh.
So a very large family. And it's interesting that my dad is the baby of 20 children.
Oh, my.
And all of his brothers had large families. Yes, and of course, I come from a large family. But we talked about the Air Force. I served my country for 24 years. In
wow.
The Air Force, we live by core values. Those core values were integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. So, I mean, when I looked at how Rotary aligned with the Air Force after I retired,
yes.
It made sense. Because when you look at the four-way test, what is that first question? Is it the truth? Whereas the Air Force is integrity first.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Think about it. And then Rotary is service above self. Air Force is service before self. So do you see how the two align?
I do.
It made so much sense for me to continue serving, not wearing the uniform, but as a Rotarian, making a difference in the lives of so many others and making a difference in the community.
I was driving to the studio and I said, you know what? All the conversations we have had, I never talked about, you told me the things you did. I never talked about what was it like for a female in the Air Force when you did your tour of duty? What did that feel like?
I was in a glass house, a glass ceiling, because it was a male-dominated profession.
Uh-huh.
When you had a female, especially a minority female that was outspoken, you were viewed in kind of a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember an officer telling me that my voice needed to be heard.
Okay.
And you need to make sure that you strive to become 2 and 3 times better than the next person, because everything you do will be gauged much harder than your male counterparts. For example, if a male counterpart received an award or promotion, oh, he earned it. Great. If the female, oh, well, who did she sleep with and who did she know? So it was a difference, and it was always a challenge trying to prove yourself.
You know, I did a sequence last year, actually 2 months, on thank you for your service to veterans. And I did 2 shows on women, and I did a show on nurses in Vietnam. That's when women first were seen as women, and they became a problem in Vietnam for a number of reasons, but then they worked through that. And but I hadn't talked to anyone of recent years in service. And what saddens me, what you just said, which I also knew, not much has really changed. It's just more subtle.
It is more subtle. They're not as blatant with it as they have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? The one thing I remember above all else is that with God, all things are possible. And I stake the claim, and I mention to others, I will succeed. Whether I'm a female, whether I'm a minority, I won't pull the race card. I won't use my race as a crutch. I'm going to make it, and then I'm going to inspire others to make it as well. So I set my sight on promotions, promoting others, and I said in less than 20 years, I will reach the top enlisted rank. And in less than 20 years, I reached the top enlisted rank, and that's E9, Chief Master Sergeant.
Well, congratulations, my sister.
And
I do know that a lot of your story, which incorporates military, is in a book that
yes,
you wrote. You want to talk about that a little bit? What it was like, first of all, to write it?
I have been writing for years. It started back in the 8th grade.
Uh-huh.
And I turned in a project, and my teacher thought I did such a great job. And I've collected so many journals and notebooks throughout the years, and I'll write down my thoughts, or I'm singing, or I'm trying to sew, and I will put my thoughts away in a corner. When I started working on my master's, my communications professor, Dr. Frank Arnold, asked, Tanya, how come you never thought about writing more? And I said, well, I don't know. I really didn't. And he said, you should. You're an awesome writer. And the rest is history. And my hubby encouraged me, boo-boo, you've got a story to tell. He said, I believe you can encourage and inspire others by your life-changing experiences. He said, all of those journals, let's grab them. Let's start going through them. And we did. And I initially wrote 3 books, and the editor laughed, and she said, you wrote 3 books. Can we narrow it down? And we narrowed it down to Life Beyond Adversities. Memoirs of a Military Chief, because I traveled the world as an entertainer, singer, and a dancer. But not only that, I encountered so many amazing career awakening moments, like meeting a Tuskegee Airman,
mm-hmm.
Experiencing racism for the first time.
Well, don't wait a minute. Now you're going too fast. We have to talk about these things because, well, first of all, I want to go all the way back, because you did such a beautiful comparison when you mentioned the 4-way test. And I wanted to let our listeners know that Rotary has a 4-way test that is supposed to govern all decisions, both personal and professional. And when Tanya made the comparison, she was saying our first one is it the truth? And the Air Force is... integrity's in there, but
integrity
first. And so there was a parallel, and I wanted to make sure we underscored that, because that is very, very significant. Secondly, don't be slipping over. You said I was an entertainer, I was a dancer, I was this, that. You need to talk about, you just didn't go around dancing in the world. You were part of what in the Air Force?
the Air Force Tops in Blue Entertainment Showcase.
Okay, now why do they exist and what do you do? Talk about that for a bit.
Okay, why they existed is they needed to bring entertainment to families mm-hmm. and soldiers, airmen, mm-hmm. at isolated locations around the world.
Okay.
And let me tell you about Tops in Blue, and I will not skip around Tyra. I get so excited. The first time I encountered Tops in Blue, I was in high school, and I saw a young lady on stage dancing in heels, singing at mock speed, and I thought, oh, she is good. I want to do that.
Uh-huh.
How can I do that? And that was the story of my joining the military so I can become a singer and a dancer.
Okay, all right.
Did I start out as a singer and a dancer? No, I didn't. I served on the flight line.
Okay.
But eventually I became that singer and that dancer.
That is awesome. Most people, I don't think that we hear as much promo about the Air Force Entertainment Unit. I don't think we do.
The reason for that is because it was disbanded a few years ago.
Oh.
Now the Air Force is focusing on their Air Force bands to provide worldwide entertainment to others.
Okay.
And Tops in Blue is no longer a viable showcase around the country anymore.
Okay. So that's number one. I wanted to slow you down, slow your roll.
I get excited when I start talking about the Air Force and,
yes.
and all the various aspects of my career and the things we did. And
well, I want you to go back and get excited about the Tuskegee Airmen that you met and what the significance of that is. I know so many people around the world know, but some may not. So why was that exciting to you? I mean, what's so special about this guy? It was a guy.
This guy, James Warren, Lieutenant Colonel, mm-hmm. came on the flight line with the director for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing near, it's like a fire extinguisher bottle. Every airplane had its own fire extinguisher bottle in the event of a fire, engine catch a fire. And he drove over with the director of maintenance. He said, little girl, what you doing out here? And I said, fixing airplanes. And he said, what's your name? And I told him my name. And he said, why don't you give me a call? And I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Colonel Warren. I'm the chief of social actions. And I said, okay. He said, I want you to come and see me. But don't wear that. He said, I want you to put on your nice uniform. Okay. A few days later, I went to see this young man. And he asked, how long had I been working on the flight line? And I told him 18 months. And he said, why? I said, I joined the Air Force to become a singer. He said, you sing? I said, yes. He said, maybe you can accompany me to some of my events because I'm all, and this is in California,
uh-huh.
Castle Air Force Base, California. He said, I travel all over California. Maybe you can sing with me while I'm speaking. Can I? And I'm jumping up and down. I would love that. And then he said, first, we need to get you off the flight line.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me? And he said, we need to get you off the flight line. And I said, well, you may not be aware of it, but I've had some issues. He said, you did? And I said, yes, I had some harassments from my flight chief. And I told him about the young man in his office that I spoke with. I said, he didn't talk with you about it? He said he did, but he was waiting for me to open up about it. So I became very transparent. Explained to him what happened, and he said, I'm getting you off the flight line. I retrained as an administrative assistant. I went to work for this Tuskegee Airman, James Warren, and my career just pivoted from that point forward. He had me singing all over California with him. He had me meeting so many important people, and he pretty much laid out the red carpet for me. And when I left that flight line, pretty much I didn't look back.
Well, that's the good news, because apparently they didn't have a fashion statement for you to wear. But what there are a couple of three things. Tuskegee Airmen were significant. A lot of the promotion came from Eleanor Roosevelt. That was our black unit that fought overseas, a fighting unit, didn't lose people. Oh, I forgot the statistics. I should know the statistics. They are now dying out. I have been to a Tuskegee conference. They're in their 90s, but they have a legacy of an educational recruitment unit that focuses on young people, getting them interested in STEM and flight. And I had some guests from the units, the Tuskegee Airmen units now, and it's so exciting because we don't have to break that color barrier now, not like it was. We do have some barriers, but it's so interesting to see the legacy live on. And so you had an opportunity to speak with and talk with and travel with a legacy. I don't know if he's still alive.
No, ma'am. He passed away in Vacaville, California a few years ago.
Okay. Yeah, most of them have. But the other thing I wanted you to expand upon is the Air Force wasn't the only place you have sung. Where are some of the other times you find yourself with a microphone?
National Anthem for the San Antonio Spurs, Detroit Tigers for 5 years during their spring training games, San Antonio Missions baseball team, Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team, Tampa Bay when they were the Devil Rays.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness. General Colin Powell, Bernard Harris, the first African-American astronaut in space.
Yes.
Oh, quite a few. I know I'm missing so many, but yes, I pretty much have traveled the country because I'm known for the national anthem.
I hope my audience heard that. Were you going to just let that slip by or what? Was it going to be up to me to let people know you didn't just sing for one Tuskegee Airman?
It was quite a few. It really was. And matter of fact, Tyra, I performed for 225,000 people in a 12-month period.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed. I am impressed. Well, okay, all right. Now, let's not get stuck there. There's so much more to your story. Okay, so you're in the service 24 years. You had a hero, an angel, come and help you to make your dream come true, because I'm sure the audience remembers you saying, I wanted to sing and dance. So that dream came true. What other kinds of things do you remember that were either challenges or blessings while you were in the service?
Let me tell you one of the challenges, being married to another military member. Mm. My former spouse was in the military. Let me tell you the largest challenge. His coworkers, his friends reminded him daily that I outranked him. I had more stripes than he did. He had been in longer, but I was getting promoted at a much rapid rate. Also, people, whenever they saw him, they referred to him as my husband or your Tanya's husband. He didn't have his own identity.
I got you. Yeah.
That was a huge challenge. I was always in the newspapers, and although we sang together as a husband and wife singing a team, Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis,
yeah,
Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Diana Ross, Marvin Gaye, you name it, we sang as a team. I was selected. He was not.
Okay.
And it was constant. He was never, ever selected because you had to be versatile. You had to sing, dance, play an instrument, do other things, and he was not a very good dancer. So he was never, ever selected for any of the competitions or anything like that. And that was a challenge. And people always reminded him, wow, your wife is smoking you. How come you can't get promoted? Oh, we saw your wife in the newspaper again. What are you doing? And he would come home and take it out on me.
What? Okay.
Because there is a thing as verbal abuse. So that was another challenge. Being married to a military member and then encountering verbal abuse.
And you, as a young woman, in this circumstance, it's not that easy to distance yourself from the abuse, from the relationship. How did you manage?
I will walk into the office as if everything was okay. I envisioned myself on a stage getting ready to perform.
Okay.
You take 4 good deep breaths before you hit that stage. I would take 4 good deep breaths before I walked to that office. Was I always successful? No, I was not, because there were times when I would have to walk out and my boss would look at me and he would ask what's wrong, and I would have to explain to him. And he's one of the angels that God placed in my life, and his name is George Arthur Dudley in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And he would talk with me, and then he would get the ex on the phone and talk with him, and he would tell him what he wasn't going to allow him to do. And you will not disrespect her. You will not verbally abuse her. And I thank God a many a day for George Arthur Dudley. As a matter of fact, I saw him a few months ago.
You know,
and we still remain in close contact with each other.
I celebrate anyone that is willing to make an intervention when they're aware of domestic violence or abuse of any sort. That's an issue very close to my heart. And it's very difficult to survive. And so I think you need to also add to your resume the word survivor. Tell me I think you've talked about a lot of wonderful things that happened. What basic lesson would you take away from the service? We're going to bring you out of the service now. We're going to let you retire and go do some other things. What would be a basic lesson learned for you that you can think of for military?
You can succeed and excel at anything you put your mind to. All you need is that faith and belief. Because I am determined that God made me a promise, and I hung on to that promise to never leave me nor forsake me. And I remember my angel sharing with me, with God, all things are possible. And Mom even explained that to us as we were kids growing up. So I had to continue to remember that Christian foundation that I grew up on. Sometimes I forgot it. Other times I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
That with God, all things are possible. And for people not to give up so easily, persevere, you can do it.
And I think...
Go ahead.
I was listening to your words, and what I've been thinking about recently as trying to be a woman that's an inspiration to others is sometimes until we survive it, we can't look back and see how strong we are.
Exactly.
You know, it's just taking that one step. Like you said, I went to the office. I took my deep breath. Some days it worked. Some days it didn't. Some days the mask was there. Some days it fell off. But there was someone there to help me take the next step. And that's my prayer, is that there always will be someone there for someone who needs that support to take the next
step. And you know something, Tyra? And through God's goodness and his mercy, he helps us to accomplish the things that people say we can't accomplish, or he makes the impossible possible. You know, through the views, through the scale of other folks, they may think things won't happen, we can't do it. I call it the green-eyed monsters and the negative Nancys. The one thing I had to remember is I will not claim defeat. Especially without trying. I cannot do that. I will not allow others to defeat me. And I almost fell prey to that years and years ago. Maybe they're right. Maybe I can't succeed. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I am sometimes. No. That is not accurate. You are good, baby. You are a special angel. God blessed you. Now give back.
And you know,
it's a pity party.
That's right. And what we don't understand is, when we were created, when we got here, there is something that no one else in this world can do like we can do. That thing that we were put here on this earth to do, no one else can do as well. And we are designers original. But I think when I think about the young women I work with today, so often they are stimulated by external, all right, the screens, you know, the feedback, the likes, the hits, the whatever, takes away the I guess what I'm saying is those things become the mirror. And the mirror is the thing that can destroy them if they are not strong on the inside. And it's up to us to leave a legacy of strength. It's up to us to tell them they're not their circumstances. It's up to us to impress upon them that they're worthy. And you becoming a living example through your history, and we're going to, I guess we can jump to where you are now, because you're in such a perfect place to be an example for the next generation. You want to talk about what you're doing now, and we can talk about some in-between stuff. Where are you now?
Yes, I'm currently at Florida Southern College in the Department of Military Science. So I'm in a college environment with all types of young people around me.
Mm-hmm.
So every day there is an opportunity to encourage. And I thought about it this morning, and I thank God for giving me the courage to continue to encourage in the midst of adversities and challenges, whatever. Remove the focus from myself, and I'm still continuing to encourage those young doctors, those young lawyers, those young roofers, first responders.
Yes,
will replace us someday.
Absolutely. I had somebody laugh, and I said, I'm really pouring all the goodness, all the support I can, because they're going to be deciding, calibrating those tubes that are going into my arm in the nursing home. And they said, just be quiet. Just be quiet. But I want to make sure they can count and read. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? You are right, because when I talk with one young person, and he asked, so you're wanting me to join the military? No. I'm not even telling you to attend college, but what about a vocational school? What about serving your community? You can do that for free. What about serving at a school, serving your family? I said, what I want you to do is show a sense of gratitude. Every time you're thanking me for my service, prove it. You go out and serve in some capacity.
What do they say to you when you say that? What happens when you do that?
It's like, wow, oh, okay, I didn't think about it that way. Because whenever you tell people to serve, they're thinking, okay, I need to put on a uniform, or I need to become a police officer, or, you know, I need to become a doctor. No, you can serve as a roofer, a sanitation worker.
You know what's... You said it several times, we both have, the word serve. And sometimes serving means just show up, just be present.
Let me tell you what serving means, Tyler. Serving means you're at the grocery store, and you're getting ready to put all of your groceries on a conveyor belt. And a young person walks up to you and say, ma'am, I've got this. And they're not employed by the store. And they proceed to unload your grocery cart. Ma'am, you have a nice day. And they walk out. They just served me.
Yes. It's an attitude.
Yes, ma'am. You're on it. Yes.
It's an attitude. Yeah. And I was thinking, I'm talking to a veteran, and you said something interesting, because you said when the young people hear serve, they interpret it as meaning putting on a uniform of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and ma'am. I had not thought of it before you said it like that. I had not thought about that. Yeah. We have to expand the definition, because everyone may not want to fit in a uniform, psychologically,
exactly,
or physically or emotionally. We have to let them know there's a place for them. There is a place.
There's a place for everyone.
Yes, absolutely. Well, okay, you mentioned your mom and your dad a couple of times.
Oh.
You mentioned big families and little families, and I know that this year has been a year of loss for you, but I want to celebrate their memory now and ask you, You know how when we're little, our parents talk to us, and I call it stories we grow up with, right? They're actually training us by telling us things. They may be telling us stories of things that happened to them, or they may be telling us beware stories, or they may be telling us how much they love us. What kind of stories did you and your siblings grow up with? What did you receive from your parents that made you so strong? Because you just said, I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to be refused. Where'd you get that?
Mom and Dad. My mom and Dad had such a strong work ethic. My dad would work all day at a phosphate mine, but then he would come home, get something to eat, and help to build our pastor's home. He built a church. He was a bus driver, gospel singer, played the guitar. I can go on and on about my dad. Mom, she designed the church bulletin and the programs. She arranged the flowers that you saw displayed in the church every Sunday. She would stand and usher, greet people at the door. So I grew up around parents who believed in serving, parents who believed in giving back.
And your...
What I also grew up around were parents that showed us love.
Okay.
Affection. I mean, they were the absolute best. They were brilliant.
Well, it seems to me that whatever the stories were, you listened and incorporated them. Tell me... about your family now.
Tara, last time you and I really saw each other and we sat down and talked.
Yes.
I came from a family of 10. Now there's 7 of us. Mm-hmm. My brother transitioned September 2nd of last year. My dad, December 2nd of last year, exactly 3 months after my brother. My baby sister, 31 days after my dad, January of this past year. So I lost 3 family members in a span of 120 days.
And I want to know how you made it until today.
How I made it was I helped others that were experiencing challenges and adversities much greater than mine. I took the focus off of myself and focused on other people, and Dad stayed in my head. His spirit was always with me, and he was always telling me, Googie, man can't begin to give you the rewards that God has in store for you up in heaven. Don't look for man to give you your rewards. You will receive them when you transition to heaven. And I repeat, man can't begin to give you the rewards that God has in store for you up in heaven. Those words stayed in my head. And what stayed in my head as well was to continue to serve, continue to help others, continue to bless others. Let them know that the God we serve is a loving and a caring God that will show grace, mercy, and favor to everyone. We're not victims, we're victors. For every valley, we can climb beyond that. For every crooked road, God will make our path straight. We just need to stop and look at all of those signs on the side of the road. All too often, we're so busy. We're going here, we're going there. We need to just stop and breathe. Look at that sign on the side of the road. Appreciate the now. And I'm talking to my young people when I say that. Appreciate the now. Yeah, it's okay to plan, but stop. Take a break. Appreciate the now. Thank God for this moment, because tomorrow's not promised to any of us. I know that, losing Dad, my brother, and my baby sister. Tomorrow's not promised. And but, Dad, thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your wisdom.
It sounds like you're an A student. You know, I was thinking, I had a season, we've talked about it. It was a very difficult season. And I too found in my brokenness, I was able to bless others, and that helped me survive. And I never would have expected that, because to me, the natural inclination is to curl up in a ball. you know, and close all the windows and shades and just exist until it stops hurting. And I don't know what, sure I do. I didn't do that. I did not do that. And I remember I was asking you about stories that helped you through, and I remembered something funny, and it's in my book. I said, Mother told me a long time ago, she says, listen, when you're really, really down, you feel like you're getting smacked around, you get up early, and you put on your best makeup, your best hair, your best clothes. And if you have to go out that door saying showtime, do it. When you come back in, you can fall apart. But don't ever let the world show that they are winning. And I have to say this, Tanya, in many ways, that's true. And at the same time, through this last long season of challenges, I found a way to say, you know what, right now I'm hurting, but I'm not defeated. So I'm learning,
yes.
I'm learning how to be vulnerable, okay, and still be authentic and still show courage. You know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of strength to be weak, you know, with someone else. Am I making sense?
You're making a lot of sense, because my hubby, bless his heart, he says the same thing. And I talked to him last night, and I asked him, baby, what was the challenges associated with helping my family? He said, Precious, when I help, you know, he's a funeral home director.
Uh-huh.
He said, when I'm helping other families, I can walk away after an hour or two, making sure that I understand all of their wants and the plans for their services. But when it happened with you and your family, I couldn't walk away from it,
mm-hmm,
because I was continuing to be surrounded by, you know, your sorrow, mm-hmm, and your family, and that he was my dad too. It was my brother, my sister too. So I couldn't walk away from it. He said, but the one thing we have to remember is God got this, and he got us. And it's okay to cry, because Jesus wept.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I don't want us to stay on that place, because you've got a strong message in a letter I asked you to write.
And, yes.
And I wonder if you wouldn't mind sharing that now with our listening audience. Would you do that for me?
Yes, Tyra. Thank you. Dear young Tanya, way to go. You are preparing to begin a life where your dreams, visions, and aspirations will become reality. You will continue to encourage and make a difference in the lives of so many others. You have doubts about your effectiveness because others have planted seeds of negativity and not good enough in your mind. They are making an effort to tell you what you can't do or become. Do not embrace this nonsense, because you have what it takes. Remember, you are God's special angel, and with God, all things are possible. The birds are trying to sing along with you as you begin to bring comfort to your soul. Singing helps to erase the disappointments and manages to soothe your soul. Yes, you are missing a few notes and singing a little off key, but that's okay. God knows the desires of your heart. Guess what, young Tanya? He is going to give you those desires and much more. Remember to have faith and believe. This faith will replace your doubts with positive thinking. It will cushion you when disappointment and fear tries to invade your airspace. Remember, faith and fear can't occupy the same airspace. Guess what, young Tanya? You will meet some amazing people who are full of life and will share some positive suggestions regarding your future. Unbelievable, right? Yes, you will encounter others who accentuate the positive. That glass is half full. You will also encounter people who are much different than you are. They will have different beliefs, different goals, and different ways of accomplishing things. That's okay. They don't have to think, feel, or do the same things as you. You are a blessed child. You are unique. You are God's special gift.
your mom and dad will continue to remind you of this while enveloping you with their love and attention. You will reach a point where you truly understand the footprints in the sand. Numerous tragic events will occur within days of each other. Your flesh will long for comfort, and you will receive it. God will help you. He will carry you through. Young Tanya, He will sustain you. Look down. Do you see the footprints? Now look up and thank God for continuing to carry you, shield you, and protect you. Young Tanya, continue to give God all the praise and glory, and watch what happens. Love, hugs, and prayers, your future self.
Tanya, thank you so much. I want our listeners to understand that you've been listening to Rotarian Tanya Oldham. Tanya, say the name of your Rotary Club in Florida.
Our Rotary Club is Rotary Club of North Lakeland. We're the Wednesday Morning Breakfast Club.
I know they're thrilled to have you in their membership. I think the lessons that we heard shared here is, one, dreams can come true. We heard a young woman want to sing and to dance on stage in high heels. She found a door. It was the Air Force, and it began 24 years of service above self, integrity first. Along the way, she met many heroes, of which one was a Tuskegee Airman. The other was her reporting, I should say, commanding officer, who said, yes, you can do this. But what is special to remember, for the external heroes, inside of her lived a shero. It was her saying, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Tanya, I want to thank you so much for what you've shared, who you are becoming, and the legacy that you're leaving. Your faith will take you through whatever. I want to just close out and say I love it when I get together with a guest courageous enough to look and walk beyond words, where we can give each other permission to expose gifts of our imperfection without judgment. Frankly speaking, is our time and space to help, to heal, to educate, and to encourage each other into the very best versions of ourselves. No matter where we are in our journey. Our spiritual doggy bag this week includes a note from Love, also known as God, and is offered by author Glennon Doyle Melton. And I quote, Tanya, this is something you said as well. Stop holding your breath. Breathe. There is enough. I have created an abundance of acceptance, attention, recognition, joy, peace, money, energy, clothes, food. I will never leave you without enough. And there's nothing to be afraid of. No feeling, no circumstance, no person. These things come and they go, and you can live through them without running or hiding or numbing or hurting any one of my children. And did you know this, my angel? There has never been anything wrong with you, not one day in your life. You are exactly who you were meant to be. Right now, as you are not to be ashamed. You punish yourself, but you have no reason to be punished. You can stop now. You're free. When you were born, I put a piece of me in you, like an indestructible, brilliant diamond. I placed a part of me inside of you. It is love. Love is perfect, and it's untouchable. No one can take it. It is the deepest, purest part of you, that part that will someday return to me. You are love. You've been listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device. And we are webcast worldwide on the internet at www.radiofairfax.org. Don't forget, if you miss us, you can check our YouTube channel for archived shows as well as our podcasts. Email me whenever you feel like it at Tyra@TyraGarlington.com. Again, my guest has been Miss Tanya Oldham of Lakeland, Florida. Your seat at the table is guaranteed. I look forward until next time. Until then, treat yourself like someone you love. Remember, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm living intentional, and I'm loving you. Take good care of yourself. This is Tyra G.